Hallelujah. I believe 2025 is going to be a prosperous year. Now, it's going to have its challenges. If you think you're going to walk with God and increase in God and in the things of God and not have challenges, then I'm just gearing your mind right now for it, because you have a real adversary, and he does not want you possessing the things of God. He does not want you walking higher in love, joy, and peace. And he does give onslaughts at different times and set things up and people up. And we have opportunities to operate in the power of God. Hallelujah. But 2025 is going to be an awesome year. I know I say that every year. I've had an awesome year. I had a couple of years where I went through. Go ahead, start it, Ben. Waiting on the Lord. Talked about it Wednesday night. We're going to continue on down those lines. I thank God that God waited, held things off for me. When you're baby Christians, God stops a lot of stuff for you. I mean, he just take care of miracles, all of that. But to come time, the Bible says that he's give the earth to the children of the sons of men. He's give the earth to us. He wants us to operate in this earth, in him, in the anointing, and take ground that the enemy has. Even in Jude it says, and some snatching them out of the fire, talking about people that's lost. God wants us to operate in this. But, the enemy wants you he wants you self-centered, where it's just all about you and your trials and all that. But I thank God there come a time when God turned me on to more levels of devils. Everybody needs a devil. I know that don't sound good, but the Lord dropped it in my heart. I was getting in the shower. I guess it's been 14 years ago, a long time ago. And the Lord spoke to me, dropped it in my heart, and he said, bigger levels, bigger devils. In other words, the Lord told me, he said, if you're going to go higher, you're going to have to pull down some adversaries. If you're going to break the back of poverty, it's not just believing. You got to do something. You got to believe, and then you got to take steps forward. You got to take steps forward, because the anointing comes on the action. God's anointing comes on the action that we put forth in our lives. That's why the Bible says that he will bless everything that we set our hands to what? Do. I find that every year, ever since I've been saved, every year I go higher. I go higher in God. I go further in God. I go deeper in ministry. Praise the Lord. You do too. We're going higher and deeper. But it's not because we sit back and do nothing. I take my service for the Lord as a pastor. I thank God. I thank God all the time for it. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to operate in this gift. Thank you, Lord. I don't go telling him all the problems I have, because he knows them. Right? No need me telling God about all the problems and all the things that tries to discourage me from what I'm called. Every one of us are called. We're called and anointed by the Lord. You might not be fivefold ministry. I knew people that were just supernaturally blessed and anointed, gifted in finances, that they would give to ministries and all of that, and that was their calling. I mean, they felt called and anointed to finance the kingdom, to back up the things of the kingdom of God. And when they operate in that they would just supernaturally increase. I'm one of them. You're one of them. You might not need all that I need for what I'm called to do, but God wants you to have more than what you need in abundance, till it overflows, so that you're sufficient in all things. You're able to do that, and be blessed yourself. God is not against us being blessed. I was telling Travis the other day, I said, I need preachers and ministers. I said, I think it's just lack of revelation or knowing or something, that they're just against you prospering financially. You're just supposed to be happy with what you got. That's not what Paul meant. He said, I found out how to be stable and content when things are this way, and stable and content when things are this way. But he didn't ever say, well, you know, I was hindered from going to do what I can do by the devil. I guess God just wasn't his will for me. That's not what he said. He told him, he said, I wanted to come to you, but I was hindered. See, setbacks are not defeat. Setbacks, you know, or delays or anything like that, you know, God wants us to stay in a right spirit in a time of waiting. In a time of waiting on him. My pastor, I got a little upset. I've never really said nothing bad against him, you know. But Teresa has said less word against him than I have. You know, I mean, she's big on that honor. I mean, I don't come to church wrinkled shirts. I mean, she's honoring God. She wants me to look good in the house of God. She wants me to present God good, you know. And she prays about what I wear and stuff, you know, has for years. And you know, pray about what does he wear today, God? What do I wear today? I've seen her go in there three times and get dressed and go back and say, God don't want me wearing that. Go back and change two or three times, you know. But why I'm saying that, you know, and I'm thinking, man, I need a heart like that, you know, to honor God, you know. I mean, I'm not at the house of God and all that. But that honoring God gets God's honor. It gets God's favor and God's honor on a person. Hallelujah. And so, you know, just like, you know, talking about respecting one another. See? And me and her both, we're like, we're going to quit. We've been there. I mean, let's shut it down, man. This stuff is just, you know, blah, blah, blah. But it always boils down to, what are y'all going to do? What would happen to y'all, you know? This is the will of God for y'all. And we can bail out the will of God, and y'all are going to suffer, see? That's honoring God. That's honoring his people. Every one of y'all, when you're at home, you ought to be like, what is my actions? How is my actions going to affect the church this way or that way, you know? And don't do it, you know? Do it for God. When you do it for God, I'm telling you, more commitments. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, you've even brought me to another level financially. I've never been where I'm at financially. You can call it braggadocious if you want to. I was 27 when I started serving God and started tithing and started honoring God, started giving away cars and houses and lands and four-wheelers and dune buggies and get sowing, you know, sowing our home. We sold our home to somebody for the payoff on ours to make sure, you know, that God had our house covered. Well, if we own our house today. But we gave our home away and you know, sowing, God told us to. See, if you'll follow God, if you'll follow what God's saying, and, you know, we get out of this, oh, it's all about us. We ain't going to make it. We're just blah, blah, blah. It's just one thing. You got to change those cycles. If God could change them for you, he would have done it. He's done it in the spirit realm. And then he said, I give you power. He said, I gave you talents. I gave you talents in the Bible, them talents in the Bible, and I told them to put it to work. See, God's word is seed. The word is seed. And, you know, over there in Mark, the parable of the sower, it says that some fell by the wayside. And that's preaching, that's ministering to somebody, just like that preacher tried to get me saved on the riverbank down there. I'm 10 or 11 years old. Preston, he got saved then. He gave his heart to Jesus down there. He was about 9. He's about a year younger than me, a year or so. But I'm like, I don't want to do it. What happened? It fell by the wayside. Satan just, whatever I thought, I didn't want nothing to do with it. Well, see, that seed preached didn't profit me. It didn't. Well, it goes on and it talks about seed, you know, that we receive it joyful. Woo, yes, God's going to prosper me. Then you get home and you start crying about what you're going through. You get a phone call. You get an unexpected bill. You know, the interest rates goes up and your house payment shoots up. Come on, somebody. See, that is when the Bible says that they, not having any root, but receive it with joy and gladness, then when temptation comes, trials, your husband, your boss, your wife, your neighbor, your neighbor's cow, your neighbor's dogs tearing your garbage out, somebody hitting you up, you can't blame it on the devil if you ain't paying your bills and they knocking on your door. Come on, somebody. The Lord wants the word. He said, in the word having no fruit, they give up their faith, one translation said. They quit believing me. He says, when the trials come, he said, they stumble. And one translation said, Jesus was saying, they quit believing me. See, I don't know about you, but me and Teresa didn't have a lot of crutches, people, and things we could lean on, because I had been done so many things to a lot of folk, you know, there wasn't no help around for us. And so when we got born again, you know, I mean, I made up my mind. I thought, man, I'm going to serve this Jesus that came down there. See, I was there in the living room that day when I got saved, and I didn't know, I thought I was saved, but I wasn't born again. But I got up, and I didn't want to commit suicide and all that. I'm like, man, what happened to me, you know? And it seemed bright. Later on, I realized that I had called on the name of the Lord, and I had got born again. Well, from that day, I began to have different desires. Desires to watch preaching on TV. Desires to, you know, and I'm like, desires to go to church. You know, and hear that preaching on TV, and then what I thought was stupid, I did it. I anointed my house. I've still got my wife after 39 years. Now, I could have quit believing a long time ago. Somebody told me one time, well, if she really met somebody or something like that, you know, it would be inevitable for you to get a divorce. I said, and I told that person, I said, I do not think that way. I said, I do not think that way. I do not expect that to happen, because what Job feared came on him. I do not expect that to happen. And when that fear comes, I combat that fear and tell that devil, even if she did meet somebody, he ain't got the anointing I got, and he will pay me to take her back. Now, I know that sounds stupid. That's my way of doing battle. Right? However way you do battle, that's the way you do battle. But do battle. Right? Kill the fear. If it sounds stupid to people, just sounds stupid. Right? It don't make no difference what it sounds to people. You obey the Lord. And the Bible does say that he does take the foolish things of this world to confound them that think they're wise. Little things that I've done over the years, people are like, man, that's embarrassing to do that as a Christian, you know. And I'll be like, well, the instructions in the Bible. So you got to get rid of that embarrassing. Who is that about? That's about you, right? The Bible says that love is not self-willed. The Bible says it's not self-seeking, right? Not all about itself, you know. The true love of God is it causes us to want what God wants. Now, if we suppress that and suppress that and suppress that until we're not our heart's not soft anymore toward the Holy Spirit, you have a lot of head knowledge and no action. You have a lot of head knowledge in you, but your heart really ain't in there with the Lord. And like Teresa said during Sunday school, that can be changed immediately. You can change your heart immediately at any given time. I don't care if it's in church, in your living room, in your car, running down the park, whatever. My heart can change at any minute. It's a choice. And waiting on the Lord is you know, Brett, my pastor, he told me one time, I went to him, and I don't remember what it said, man, I'm called to preach or something. I don't remember what it said, what it was. And he said, wait on the Lord. And I looked at him, I said, I've been waiting on the Lord. And so I just left. I get in the car. He said, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Wait on. What? I was telling Teresa, what does he think I've been doing? Wait on the Lord. Well, you know what? I went on griping to God a little bit, you know, blah, 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 blah. And he called me one evening. And he said, hey, Brother Scotty, I want you to preach tomorrow night. I said, yes, sir, yes, sir. I'm the Father, glory to God. Woo! And I'd heard some dumb, lame stories about Jesus through people. Dumb, lame. I went up there. When I got through stretching Jesus, he was stretched clean down that aisle. And, you know, they stretched him up. I got done, you know, and I didn't feel good. And I'm trying to find where they stretched Jesus out on the cross and pulled him and all that. And I'd preached that before 250 people. And I mean, I didn't even want to go to church the next Sunday or the next Wednesday or ever. You know, because I was so embarrassed. So then I could hear Brad wait on the Lord. And I thought, oh my God, I should have listened to him. I'd stay away from him. Don't ask me to preach right now. I mean, it was a while before I wanted to preach again. Now they clapped and they knew I was a baby and all of that. I wasn't in a dumb church, you know, man. I mean, they knew I come in and I'm in flesh most of the time probably and all of that, you know. But see, that's where our endurance comes in with people. You know, we put up with some stuff. And I'm not talking about false doctrine stuff. If you eat up with false doctrine, I got to help you. I got to get you straightened out with Scripture. I got to get you unlearned of the religious stuff and get you lined up thinking and heart with Bible. Then is when the anointing and the power comes in. Hallelujah. See, God said it that our nation was divided. We see it coming together. We see our nation coming together as a whole. We see the whole world leaders getting on board with what's going on right now. Even though they don't like it. Right? See, structure brings blessing into our life. Structure brings blessing into our marriage. Structure brings blessing into our finances. Structure, God's Word, gives structure. Gives clear structure. The Bible says, in times when I would want to give and I'd look on the inside and I wasn't sure, and I still do it. I'm not sure. I would think about the Scripture. Don't be weary in well-doing. For in due season you will reap if you faint not. If you don't quit believing. So the Word of God, we must, and even if you've been in it 30, 40 years, time is not an essence here. It's what we keep in our heart. Guard our heart. For out of it flows the issues of life, the Scripture says in Proverbs. See, we got to come to the place to where trials, I almost welcome them. Everybody needs a devil. Everybody needs trials. See, don't wait till you not got trials to serve and enjoy God. That's how you can serve and enjoy God. Because you got him in the midst of the trial. You've got him in the midst of your situation. You're not looking at your situation without God. You're looking at your situation that God is on it. That God is involved. That God is moving in it. And then you patiently wait on him like it's happening. That's what walking by faith is. Hallelujah. I watched Travis out there, he won't build a shop. And I'm like, glory to God, hallelujah. And then he said, then he starts out 20 foot or whatever it was. And then he says, well, if God can give me a 20 foot, he can give me a 24 foot, whatever he said. I said, he can. Then he come back and he said, well, why settle for a 24 when I can get a 30? And I said, well, reckon he can get a 30, but just about as good as he can get a 20. How many know the size of that building don't make any difference that you're wanting to build? You find it in here that God's okay with it, and you know what? Men want them men caves. The kids asked him, said, are you going to give Mom anywhere a place out there? She's going to get a little corner. I'm like, she's boss. He just don't know it. Well, she'll have crochet stuff out there because she's got to move out there. She crochets and she cooks that bread, and she's probably going to have some of it out there where she can watch it out there and ain't got to run the house and back. I know how life goes. And then I told the kids, I said, y'all are fixing to have a skating rink. Man, I give them vision, man. Get them cars and rockers and stuff out of here. The kids has got to have a blast. He will get them out of there because he don't want them scratched up. Right? So they're headed out to skate. He's going to run out ahead of them like a dad would and crank everything up and move it. Well, I saw him go in there, you know, and now he looks and he's like, I'm going to take that tree down. And that, he's bold. That tree down, I'm going to move that tree, Dad, and I think I'll move that tree. And I'm like, whoo, he's in for it. If you ain't dug up a bunch of trees before, you don't know what you're talking about. So I watched him out there for about an hour, and he's trying to, maybe longer than that. I heard it running, and I just kept being busy, look out there, and he's still a-banging, trying to push the tree over. He's dug about that far away from it. He's trying to dig the tree up at the tree. That's not a good thing. So I'm out there, and I'm laughing about it. And so I tell him, I said, son, I said, you got to go out away from the tree. Dig it up around the tree. Well, he wants to hurry up, get the tree up. Well, if you take 30, 40 minutes, you don't waste an hour and a half when you can have it up for 30, 40 minutes. What was I doing? Just like God does me and you, he gives us just information that's going to better our life. That's what this Bible does. This Bible brings instruction. This Bible has brought me correction for 30 years and still does at times. Corrects me. It convicts me at different times. Some things I might say, be thinking about some folk or something. I wouldn't hurt anybody or anything, but how many knows the Word is a discerner of our thoughts and the intents of our heart? Why am I doing it? Why do I come to church? So I'll look good before you. Wrong reason. I come to church and pastor because God asked me to. He asked me to be in ministry. He put it in my heart to preach. That's how it started. Hallelujah. And every born-again believer has a God-given desire to do the will of God. And then God gives the ability to do the will of God by our choices, our action. See, I believe if Moses hadn't went to the Red Sea, he wouldn't have seen it open. I believe if Moses hadn't raised his rod at that sea, I don't believe it would have rolled back. If it would have, God would have just rolled it back and said, y'all hurry and get there. It's open. It's dry. But God waited till they got there. And I can just imagine how nervous they might have been. They've went down there and God's give them the word. He's given us this Bible right here. He's given us good preachers and teachers under the anointing to tell us how to prosper, how to stay well, how to walk in divine health, you know, how to have healthy relationships, how to have healthy marriages. These answers in this Bible right here for everything that I will ever face. And so... You know, I can just imagine how nervous they might have been to come down there. We're going to carry you to a place where it's flowing with milk and honey, Moses telling them. We're going to take you to a place where you'll live in your own houses, man. You'll drink out of wells you didn't dig. God had given this to Moses. God had told Moses this stuff. Sometime or another when Moses was spending time with God, seeing if you're a leader of your house, if you spend time with God and you pray and you fast and you shut your mind off and get it off all you. See, Satan wants a leader. I'm talking about a man. I'm not talking about 5-fold right now. He wants a leader of the house. He wants him consumed with everything that's going on around him. So that he loses sight and vision of where he's leading his family. He wants a leader. He wants that man not to spend time. Satan does. He wants that man, but I have found out that Satan is not my problem. Jesus stripped him, and I'm not ignorant. The more I get in God's Word and the closer I am to the Lord, the more I know that what's coming at me is God or not. And the more that you walk and we walk with God, the more God begins to reveal things to us and enlighten our path and give us revelation and all of that. And the Bible says that the revelation, the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Hallelujah. And so I can just imagine the children of Israel there hearing all them wonderful promises. You know, I mean, I'm only 58. I've thought before, man, I've been in ministry 30 years, you know. I mean, I thought it would have been this and this and this and this. Satan does every leader that way, I believe, that's called and got that anointing. If you really was called, it would have done this. If it really was. And I mean, a day is like 1,000 years to the Lord. Time, he's not in time like we are. I can be 65 and God say, it's just now starting. I'll be like, what have I been doing? But nevertheless, God, let it start. See, I've not got to have it my way. I'm here to serve the Lord and honor the Lord in whatever comes my way. Now, if there's things I need to be confessing and doing, fasting for this church, which I do regularly, fasting and praying and confessing over you and telling that devil no weapons formed against them will prosper. I don't know what they're facing, God, but you work all things together for their good because they are called by you. And, you know, I mean, in God, I mean, he spoke to me probably about 10 years ago. He said, I don't want you to think weekly anymore. He said, I want you to think years down the road. Stop thinking week to week. Little did I know, I started renewing my mind. I'm like, God, I don't want to think 3 weeks out. Johnny, I mean, let's just deal with right now. Let's just do it. Let's just get this week over. You know, I mean, I used to listen to that song, Living for the Weekend, oh yeah. And I mean, I'm listening to that on Friday. This is the weekend, baby. Woo! Now I made it. I used to think this is hump day. Hump day, Wednesday. After I got born again, I'd be like, whoo, this is filling station day. I'm going to church tonight. You stupid devil, you've come against me through people all Monday and Tuesday, but God, and tomorrow is my day. My day. And I would be excited all day long to work to get over where I could get to church. I'm still that way today. I've just pretty much shut blunt overhead door down on Wednesdays. I have done it for 30 years. I mean, I do a little if I need to. And then I go in and I rest. And I give that day to the Lord. Hallelujah. I go get the food on Wednesdays. I could pick any other day. But we got church on Wednesday, right? So I choose that day to do some of the ministry stuff, you know, and all of that so that I'm refreshed. But you don't have to do that. You got a job. Get yourself Wednesday morning and get lined up in here and in here. And before you know it, the fire that you once had, if it's went out, will fire up. What you pursue, you get. If you pursue the presence of the Lord, you get the presence of the Lord, right? The Bible says, come unto me, ye that labor. Preachers like to preach that. Come unto me, ye that labor, and heavy burden. But I never too much heard them go on and see what you get. Jesus said, take my yoke on you after that, right? Y'all remember it? He said, take my yoke on you. Get this yoke. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. He said, learn how I am. Learn the way I do. Learn what I think when in these situations. He said, then you'll find rest. He said, sure, you can't come to me. If you don't come to me, you won't find that. And then the Lord told me 15, 20 years ago, he said, you never have to be dry spiritually. I'd never heard that statement ever in my life. I had people tell me, and I expected it and seemed like to experience it, some of it, you know, that you're going to have 10-day tribulations. So when it starts, you don't know if that's one of them or not, so you wait 10 days to see if you make it. Right? Don't expect it before then to quit because it's a 10-day one. Boy, that's dumb. So I believed that for about 10 days. And then I thought, I can't find that in the Bible. God's people. It is in the Bible they had a 10-day tribulation. But it ain't in there Jesus saying, look, guys, I'm just telling you right now, it's going to be periods. Jesus would have laid that out, don't you think? If there's going to be periods where you're going to go through 10 days of tribulation and then you're coming out. But you can't believe that junk. That's why you've got to be a student of this word. Not even really taking my word for it. Make sure what I'm saying is lined up with the Bible and not my opinion or not my experience or not what somebody else has experienced and I think it says and I think it does. I don't listen to too many people that say that stuff. I don't take it to heart too much. Well, I think the Bible says, God told me one time, he says, well, you know, the Bible's got different interpretations for different people. I said, so you just figured yours out, didn't you? What it means to you. I said, no. I said, that Bible right there is revealed by the Holy Spirit. It ain't got different meanings for different folks. The same revelation, different situations we get in, but revelation comes out of that word to each individual. Like this, for example, people, because I would, confront them, are you born again? Do you want to get saved? And blah, 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 blah. You know, and they say, look, man, don't judge us. Don't get all holy on us. The Bible says, work out your own salvation. I'm in there and I thought, men are getting me with this one. So I go in there and I look at it. And I had a revealing by the Holy Spirit in there that and I studied it and kept it in context and all of that stuff, you know, and come to a realization that means the salvation that's come on the inside of you, work it out. Work it out of your life. Let it work out into your life. Am I making sense? It don't mean don't judge me. Work out your own salvation. That's not what that means, man. Like, shut up, man. So my pastor told me one time, he said, be careful what people tell you. And I wanted to say, why? I mean, if it's talking about Jesus, talking about things of God, man, why would I want to be careful, you know? Well, then wasn't too long after that, Teresa, she's spending 7-8 hours. We got hooked up with Keith Moore, Moore Life Ministries, back under in the 90s. And we had dial-up. Whatever, it took forever. You know, dial-up internet, boy, we got high speed now. Soof, ha, boom, boom. Teresa said, I need you to look up a scripture. I used to have to go get the Strong's Concordance and all that and dig through and try to find it. And she said, could you look up a scripture? I said, what does it say? And she just told me a part of it. I went in there and punched it in and went, poof, Romans 13:7. I walked in there and I said, it's Romans 13:7. Boy, that's easy, right? Hallelujah. God's made a way for it to be easy for me to study, for me to dig, to look up words, translations of words. Hallelujah. I don't want to interpret the Bible. I want the Holy Spirit to interpret it to me. I want Him to quicken it to us as a church. Once revelation comes, I'm telling you right now, praise God, to you about whatever in your life, once it comes, that just means a revealing on the inside of you that is more real than what you're facing, going through, or think you might go through, that causes you to be strong in the middle of whatever you're going through. It causes you to know that you're not defeated. It causes you to know that somehow God is going to come through. And it's not because we run around trying to let everybody know and then God comes through. God usually don't work that way. That's working on the emotions of people. And you get all the rewards you're going to get is the instant gratification, helping at that moment. And then again, it's coming again. It's coming again. Mark 9:23 says, all things are possible to those that believe. Somebody say all. I mean, there's nothing impossible if we believe. Right there, Jesus said unto him, if thou can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Hallelujah. Is it possible to get your house paid off if you believe? Is it possible that cancer dies in your body if you believe? Right? Is it possible that no plague will come nigh your dwelling if you believe? Jesus said so. Jesus said no weapons formed against you will prosper if you believe. Jesus says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. But if you go around, I can't do it. I just can't do it. I can't do what the Lord wants me to do. Somebody told me the other day, they said, well, I need $2 million before I can do my next step for God. I said, you won't never get it. You won't never do that next step. You got a step. I told Travis, he's out there and he's going to move those trees and all. He gets all excited. He starts digging that one up, and then, I mean, he shuts her down out there. I'm like, what happened? Man, he's got four or five trees out there, you know. So he's not backsliding, but that's what it feels like when you can't move forward, you know, and it stops your vision. You feel like, what's the use? I'm just trying to get things done for God. Just trying. I'm trying. No, don't try. Get back on the backhoe. You tried for a few minutes, and here come that trial. And now you quit believing. So he's out there. Then he comes out there. Hey, Dad, that cylinder on there started leaking. I just had packed one, the other one. I said, just run it. Well, the cylinder shut him down, right? Now you got another trial. But you know what? Just Saturday, then when he got all that, then he hit a big rock. Now you can't take the ground down. Boy, that was going to be easy. Take the big dozer, level it out. Woo, builder, let's go. Well, he couldn't go down. So I said, well, look, there's plenty of dirt over there. Plenty of dirt over there where I dug that pond out. Well, he's got to make up his mind. If the dirt gets hauled, I'm going to have to haul it. Right? Sounds simple, don't it? Well, he hauls and hauls and hauls and hauls. I mean, he thought he wasn't going to ever get enough dirt over there. The pad ended up that high, Johnny. 6 foot, 5 or 6 foot on the left corner because the rocks got in the way. But you know what? When he got frustrated, he'd just throw her down, go put him on some preaching. Go put him on some Keith Moore. Go put him on. He sends me preachers all the time. Tags me in them, you know, and I'll listen to them. Praise God. And I'll be like, man, that's a good preacher there, man. Well, you know, he had to listen. Now, he's not one to send me anything. I don't think are you either. So that tells me he had to listen to it first to make sure it's good. Right? I think that's what he does. He listened to it, make sure it's good. Well, guess what? He's drinking. He's drinking of that sermon. You know, well, Saturday, me and him concreted his post in. He's already bleed the top in. He's already bleed the buildings. It's laying on the trailer. And so he goes and gets the concrete, and we concreted all his rafter post up yesterday. Now you can see what he was believing for. He did sit out there in the driveway, and water bottles everywhere where he's sitting there dreaming about the building. Oh, I'm going to have a building. It's going to be nice and all of that, you know. Oh, it's going to be nice. And he stretched it on out bigger and all of that stuff, you know. But you know what? I looked around. I thought to myself when I was walking off yesterday, I thought now I can see his vision. The buildings, you can see it now. But what if you'd have quit on the first tree? What if you quit on the first time your boss gets on to you at work and you can't work for them because they're ugly and you're a Christian? Come on, somebody. They're laying out cocaine in my truck, and I'm like, y'all just go ahead, thank you guys. And they cussing, I mean, doing cocaine, and I'm thinking, woo, this is going to benefit me. These dudes going to unload all this sheetrock, man. I know how it is when you're on cocaine. You want to get out of there first and get up there and drag some sheetrock. So I tell them, y'all just go ahead with mine, man. I don't believe I want none. I got saved. And y'all just go ahead and hit that line of cocaine. And then when we get down there at the Evertime, they'd say, hey, man, Scott, just stay on the truck, man. We got it. We got it. And I'm like, are y'all sure? Hallelujah. So don't tell me that you can't work around sinners. You're anointed. We're kings and priests unto God. Hallelujah. And if we worship in Him in our heart and cut our religious ears off and get all that religion out of us, we can be around people that cuss. Right? Listen to Rock 99. But now when they leave, I go cut their radio off. They come back, man, my radio quit. Yeah, no, it didn't quit. I cut it off. Got tired of hearing it. Old man come in out there, he had his radio on, where you know if the power went off, all his freezers went off and had some kind of guru stuff going on. I don't know what it was, praise the Lord. It wasn't good to me. It wasn't about Jesus. So I've listened to it a few minutes and I went and cut it off, and he come in, he's like, oh. I'm like, what is it, man? I got to watch that freezer. My radio ain't playing. I said, oh, I'll climb up that ladder and cut it down. I said, your freezer's fine. It's still running. But you know what? I'm telling you that because I'm not going to soak the world in. I'm not going to let it in. I heard a poem one time, you know, that a ship can't sink as long as you don't let the water in. But if the water goes in and starts filling the ship up, it'll sink. But if you don't let it in, then it can't sink you. Because I find that the things of this world and all of that, they don't have no strength when it comes. They're gods, but they're not gods. He said money is a god that has, you know, but it can't talk. The works of man's hands, they're gods, but they can't help you. But He is the God who don't faint. He's not weak. And the Bible, He spoke to me this morning. He said, you tell Him I'm not weak, I'm not faint, and I am not slack concerning my promises. He said, I will perform what you, what you let me do by believing. He said, if I reveal something in your word like I have about prosperity, He said, you have been fought for 30 years against people even in your family, even in your church, even church people. He said, but you would look to me and look to my word and say, but God, your word says, but God, your word says. How many knows you're honoring God over man when you do that? I wasn't trying to be religious. All I wanted, Chris, was a good life, more money than what I had when I paid all the bills. That was all I was dreaming for. That's all I wanted. I wanted to go to McDonald's after I paid all my bills. Instead of saying, which bill do we pay, and we'll try to make up for the next one next week. We've been there too. And people would do, but most people, when they're against prosperity like that, it's because they're broke and they don't want to do nothing. They want this big break. They want this one-time big break to bail them out of all their stuff, you know. Where God says, I want you to walk through the fire. I want you to walk through the flood. I want you to know that I did that way in the flood, in the water, but I brought you out to a wealthy place, Deuteronomy 8:18, that I can establish my covenant with you. I have watched God for 30 years. He back His covenant up little by little in my life. He watches over His word to perform it. Well, you go on, and the Bible says in the parable of the sower, it talks about, and these are they that sown among thorns, that where the cares of this world and pleasures of this life, and that means ball games, that means whatever we put before God, we don't, but I'm talking about in general, whatever we put before God, you know, that's what He's talking about. Cares of this world, you know, money. Money don't come before God. The Bible says for me and you not to put our trust in uncertain riches. The Bible says that they make wings and fly away, you know. But He said, put your trust in me. I am your shield. I am your buckler. I am the one, and He'll bring money. I mean, money's not an issue to God. I mean, money's absolutely. I remember one time I'd made up my mind, bless God. I mean, we needed money. We needed money. We just didn't have no money, and we were behind on some stuff or whatever we needed, you know. And I thought, okay, I'm not telling nobody. I want to know if God's going to show up or not for me. And bless God, I went to God and I said, God, according to your word in Mark 11 over there, I said, you said, whatever I desire when I pray, believe that I receive it and I'd have it. I said, and Lord, right now, I thank you, Father, that every one of these, I just prayed, I said, and I receive it right now. I receive it. I thank you, Father God, and I'm going to expect it to come. I'm going to look for it. And I didn't go tell my mama. I didn't go tell the 250 people in the church. Well, you know, we're believing God. I mean, you know, we're believing God. Why are you telling anybody? Why are you even telling anybody? Is God not big? Bible says he's not slack, right, concerning his promises. If he said he'd supply all your needs according to his riches, he's going to do it, right? He says he'll do it. And so it wasn't just a little while. This guy called me up, and he was one family member. He didn't know nothing about nothing. One of my brother's boys, and he said, man, he said, where you at? I said, I'm at home. He said, man, he said, I've just got to do this. He said, God told me about a week and a half ago to give you $500. I said, where are you at? I said, you've got my money. And so I went and got my money. It took care of it. I thought, man, it does work. I didn't tell nobody. Me and Teresa's all that knew about this. We're all that knew. And then I thought, glory to God, hallelujah. Next one came up. And I said, glory to God, Lord, I just thank you, Father. I'm not looking to people. I'm not expecting people to help me, God. But however you want to bring. See, you'll learn God. You can learn God. You can learn his ways. You can learn how he is. And the more that you do and the more that you trust him, the more that he's able to bring you breakthroughs. The biggest breakthrough that me and you need most of the time is spiritually. Because if you're spiritually up, you could care less about all that stuff. You'll be like, glory to God, this is just another stepping stone. Glory to God, there's light at the end of this tunnel. I'm in the tunnel, but glory to God. I mean, when you're up spiritually, when you're praising God like Sandy was talking about, praise him when you don't have enough. Don't get down and complain and tell God, God, if we just had more, God, if we just had. God said he knows what you need before you ask it. He knows everything you're going to need today or tomorrow. I mean, the Bible says that his plans, Jeremiah 29, I know the plans that I have towards you. He told Jeremiah, I knew you before you were even born. Teresa says it like this, God's already made our movie about our life and then rewound it and set us up on it. And here we go. That's why the Bible says the steps of the righteous are ordained of the Lord, ordered of the Lord. And when we're following the Lord, I could be completely out of the will of God. These people want me to go everywhere and preach. They want me over yonder in India. They want me over yonder. I ain't flying without God. He ain't told me to go over there, right? I'm not going over that ocean. I've seen some huge whales out there and stuff and out over there. I mean, you're out there, and if that plane goes down out there, I mean, it's out in the middle of where only God is. I mean, you're talking about 8 hours of flying over an ocean at 700 miles an hour, and you're only halfway across. Good Lord. I'm like, I tell them, look, man, God ain't told me to come yet. I'm not coming over there without him. Well, he's over here. I said, well, I know he's over there, but he likes to be with you when you go. I said, what that means is I need to know he's telling me to come to Zimbabwe. You know, hallelujah. Why? Acknowledge the Lord in all of his ways. I could be out of the will of God. Y'all would suffer over here. The church would suffer. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you. You know, all things are possible to those that believe. Don't look at your situations without God. And don't look back at 2024 and say, boy, I mean, we had a bad year. Paul says, forget that. Right? I don't go back and rehearse 2007, 8, 9, when I lost $400,000+. And you lost $150,000 and you can't get over it 15 years ago. My business lost $450,000 in 2007 and 8. And I felt like I can't go pastor. Three months behind. They give me a quick, get out of the house. We're going to sell it quick. Whatever's left, you're going to owe us for. Last little dude I talked to, I said, you tell them you're never getting my house. I said, I know you're only doing your job. I'm talking to the banker dude, whoever it is. I said, you tell your boss I signed them papers and I'm a man of my word and y'all will never get my house. At that time, I wanted to let them have it because it wasn't worth what I give for it. The economy failed. The housing market crashed. The house wasn't worth half what I give for it because when I bought it, it was booming. And now it's worth half. And I still owe a bunch. I wanted to let them have it and say, y'all want it? Take this house and shut it. I'm not living here no more. I felt like I'd rather live in a broken down trailer and be free from all of this pressure than have to stand. See, you can't bow in those kind of times. You gotta learn to encourage yourself in the Lord, because you know what? I didn't lose anything because I hung on to God. I stood on one scripture that said no man has left father and mother and lands and brothers and sisters and lost anything, but he shall receive 100-fold in this life and eternal life. Brothers and mothers and lands and houses and sisters. That scripture, I hung on to that scripture. I hung on to it when I felt like it wasn't working. I hung on to it. I was trusting in Jesus that he was going to do what he said in that word right there. And praise God, today I didn't lose anything but a garbage dumpster. I'm telling you, God is not slack concerning his promises. Hallelujah. And at the same time, I was letting things of God get rooted deeper in me in the middle of that trouble. Hallelujah. And when I came out of that trial and God delivered me, we was never behind on one thing ever again. And today we don't owe on none of it. And we didn't get rid of everything to own it. I quit selling things to take care of myself years ago. Because the next thing, you're going to have to sell something else and sell something else because next month's coming. I stopped bailing myself out and started, all things are possible to those that believe. And you know, and I'm going to say this in closing. And a lot of people, they talk about me, preach that and say that. Like I'm bragging. And you know what I say? I don't care what you think. I'm going to tell of the glorious and good things that God does for me. I'm going to tell the body of Christ, if he will do it for me, he will do it for you. I'm going to tell them that God is faithful because I've seen him be faithful in my life. I'm not wondering anymore if God is faithful. I am sure that God is faithful. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. And we